Welcome to the Nova Nation podcast. I'm Rob Logan. On this episode, my co-host and best friend Chris Merle talk about the start of the season for both the men's and women's basketball team. We also talk about futures betting and we'll give you some of our picks right here on the Nova Nation podcast. Listen up. Go Nova. What's up, Nova Nation? If you're looking for something new to listen to, our friend Nicole Adamo has a new podcast called Not Just One of the Guys. Episodes drop every Sunday at midnight, and it's available on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts. Check it out, Nova Nation. You won't be disappointed. Welcome back, Nova Nation. What's going on? It's Rob Logan and Chris Merle back again for episode number 2. And before we get into the episode, I just wanted to apologize to the Nova Nation and all of our listeners. It's been a little while since we had that first episode. I've been dealing with some family matters. It's been crazy. And nights are kind of difficult to put recordings down. So I apologize. We wanted to have a couple more episodes before the season started, but we're 3 games into the season for the men's team. So we will be back and having some more episodes. I'm back, and just make sure, I know a lot of people go through a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of things that happen to everyone. So you just always got to stay positive and deal with the issues as best as you can. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to have my best friend here, Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Good to be back. I'm happy to be back. And I want to start off this episode. We didn't really get too in-depth on the women's side of things on that first episode. So I wanted to start off with them. Unfortunately, they have lost their first 2 games of the season. Their first game was against Princeton, and then their second game was at Maryland. And right off the bat, let me just say, I think what Coach Dillon is doing at playing better non-conference teams is something that they have to do if they want to try to qualify for the NCAA tournament. This is a necessity. You got to pick up your game and you got to play against better competition, especially from a non-conference standpoint. So playing Princeton at Maryland, 2 very tough games. They played well. They were close games. Maryland got a little way away from them at the end, but that's what is needed to eventually qualify and try to make a bid for that NCAA tournament. Maddie Segrist has started off a little bit slow this year, only averaging 10.5 points for the 2 games, but I guarantee you she will pick it up and she will definitely improve as the season goes on. So I'm very optimistic for this women's team. They have a lot of young players, a lot of returning players. It's a good mix. And I definitely think they are going to right the ship sooner than later. And they just... defense is a key for them. They got to play better defense. And they have to play better on the three-point line because they're giving up a lot of three-point shots. But let's also now move and talk a little bit about the men's team, which has started the season off 2-1. They've played 3 games so far. First game at they played in the pavilion against Mount St. Mary's. Then they went out to the West Coast and played UCLA. And then their third game was back at the Pavilion with a win against Howard. Chris, out of those three games, what was your impressions and what was your take from those first three games?
Yeah, overall, mostly good. I really am surprised at the offensive output in the first three games. The offense is looking very, very good. And this is a theme I guess we'll talk about later, but the three-point shooting has been amazing. Not only just the amount of attempts, but the amount of makes. I mean, they're shooting at a clip that obviously won't be sustainable for the whole season. But right now, I mean, it's been overall 48% from three,
right?
Which is insane. So that's my takeaway of first three games. I don't take away too much from the loss at UCLA. It was an overtime game. They had their opportunities to win. They acquitted themselves very well. I mean, it's two teams that, who knows, you might be seeing down the road in the tournament. But the last game against Howard, you know, they were up really big at one point. Howard shot the lights out.
Yes.
In that game, they were just scorching hot. You know, I think the Wildcats led up a little bit in the second half. And then they put on that run and kind of put the game out of reach. I think they had one point went on a run in the towards the end of the second half. But got to give Howard credit. They played really, really hard. So looking forward to the next game on Saturday. Is going to be pretty interesting against Tennessee, who's ranked right now 17th. Pretty good team out of the SEC, and it's on a neutral court, I believe, in Connecticut. Is that the Mohegan Sun?
Yep, that's the Hall of Fame tip-off classic.
Yep. So looking forward to another early season matchup between two ranked teams. It should be fun.
Well, and – whoever wins that game, the other two teams that are playing in that tournament, that tip-off classic, North Carolina and Purdue. Purdue, very, very good team, ranked in the top 10,
yes, I believe.
So that should be – I'm not looking ahead, obviously, but any – well, playing Tennessee first, obviously, and then either North Carolina or – Purdue, that's two really good games and could be really two really good wins.
It could be. And I just again to the Villanova fans, the Nova Nation, if they were to lose one or two of these games, I wouldn't panic. Again, it's a long season. Conference play hasn't even started. You won't be starting that until the end of December. So what you want to take away from these games is just the competition and how they match up. And I think they would match up pretty good against these teams. North Carolina is going to be improved from what they were last year. And like you said, Purdue is a top 10 team. So, it should be interesting. Is the second game going to be played on Sunday, the day after?
It's Sunday, yes. So Saturday at 1, and then to be determined on Sunday.
Okay. But is that a Fox or an ESPN game?
That's a ESPN will have the first game, and then ABC will have the second game, or I'm assuming that'll either be – that could be ESPN, one of the two. I guess that's the reason why it's to be determined. I guess that would have to do with when the game's going to be played and obviously football on Sundays and stuff like that.
Right.
But going back to what you were saying as far as if there are any losses, it's not the end of the world. I remember an interview with Coach Wright, and one of the things he said when there was a lot going on last year, especially with the whole COVID pandemic and practices were being canceled, games were being canceled. You were trying to get as many games in as you could in a short period of time. If you remember last year when they were up at the Mohegan, they played like an extra two games while they were up there because they wanted to try to get them in and everything.
Right.
A little bit different this year, but I remember him talking about defense and the fact that it takes a while for these kids to get used to playing defense with one another. And you definitely have noticed that in the first three games, I believe. Maybe not the Mount St. Mary's game. Mount St. Mary's only scoring 51 points. But UCLA and Howard, both those games, they are definitely a work in progress on the defensive end. And I think that will only improve as the season goes on. So, Chris, you brought up about, you know, their offense and their three-point shooting and their scoring. But if their defense improves, then this team could definitely be one of the favorites to make a nice run in the NCAA tournament. Agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we kind of thought that. In our preview pod, we both felt that this is going to be a pretty good team to make a nice deep run, barring any injuries. And, yeah, if they could put it together on the defensive side, I think you kind of got something here. The only thing maybe that could give them problems is teams with a dominant big inside presence, which Nova doesn't really have that style of a rim protector kind of player on defense. Mm-hmm. Dixon gives you a little bit of that, but he's more of just your old fashioned banger rebounder type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I think, you know, their perimeter defense should be improved. I know last year we were really disappointed with some of the teams were just able to get a lot of open looks with them. And we felt that they lacked athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the little subtle changes that we did notice this year was that they inserted Slater into the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And we had always liked him as an energy guy coming off the bench. But maybe Coach Wright noticed that they needed some of his athleticism on the defensive end. And he has been shooting well, too. So he can give you that that 3-and-D type of player.
Well, that's a good segue for I went in and I'm a big numbers guy, so I like to take a look at numbers. So I'm going to rattle some numbers off at you and get your impressions of things. So for the first three games, the high score in each three game has been different. First game, it was Justin Moore who scored 27 points. Jermaine Samuels, who scored 20 points in the UCLA game, was the high. And then Brandon Slater scored 23 in the game against Howard. So the top three scorers right now are, if you want to say even top four, because it's really close. Justin Moore with 19, averaging 19. Gillespie averaging 17.3. Slater averaging 16.7. And Samuels averaging 16. So those four starters all averaging over 15 points per game. Now, if you look a little bit closer at Slater, because he was one of my guys that I said I thought was going to have a good season, and we both agreed on that, he's shooting 9 for 12 from the three-point line. So that's 75% in the first three games. He's 13 for 13 on free throws. Hasn't missed a free throw, which I probably just jinxed him. And he's averaging over four boards a game. So he's basically, I mean, he's almost a one-man show right now for that team. And like you said, I definitely think he brings a lot more athleticism than Daniels or whoever you're going to have coming off that bench.
I mean, the only other guy you probably could have started is Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he gives you the type of shooting on the offensive side that Slater does.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels, I think, is a good offensive player, but lacks defensive ability.
Right. I think he gets too many fouls.
Right. And he's not the biggest guy.
Right.
He's going to have to guard another guard, whereas Slater can – he's got long arms and he can guard bigger players.
Right. Right.
So we had always kind of liked him. Again, we liked him coming off the bench, but I think Coach Wright probably saw that, you know, he can't have a situation like last year where they were with Swider on defense, where it was just like they would attack a guy. Mm-hmm. Where I think if you had Daniels in the starting lineup, I think he's the guy that other teams would attack.
Right. I agree. Let me ask you a question. In that UCLA game, obviously it was back and forth, a very close game. Nova had a chance to win it at the end. Why is Slater not at the top of the key at the end of the game there? Garden, I forget who it was who hit that shot.
Was it Juzang? Johnny Juzang?
I believe so. Why wasn't it Slater out there at the top?
You know what? I didn't even consider that.
Because,
but now that you bring it up, he probably should have been.
Right, because listen, if you have him at the top of the key, now I'm not saying, you know, I guess they do play that, obviously that zone, that 2-3 zone, and they do some variations of it. I really, really, really like how they show zone early in the when the team is bringing it up, and then they switch real quick to man. I just think that's awesome. My son is a seventh grader. He plays in seventh and eighth grade league, and I that's all I keep telling these guys is if you could do something like that, man, you'd be so far ahead of everybody else, because I just think that's awesome. But they had, I thought it was Moore, or one of the smaller guards that were out front there, and they just went right over that shot, and it went right over him. He didn't really get a hand in his face, and it was an easy shot for them, you know. That was the shot that tied the game, you know, when they were up by two with, you know, and that was basically the last shot of the game. So I that would be my only little bit of critique at the end there is why Slater's not out there, because you see Slater, I've met the guy. He has the long arms.
Yep.
He's got, you know, he looks like he put on some good muscle, and he can jump through the ceiling. So he would be the one that would be my stopper. Do you remember it was a couple years ago when, who were we playing? It was against a ranked team early on in the season, and I forget exactly who it was. And
was it the game against Kansas at Wells Fargo?
Kansas against Wells Fargo, and Shadiq Bey played the last shot one-on-one. He went against whoever their top player was and locked him down for that last shot. Shot was missed. Villanova wins the game.
Yes.
How is that not the same case the other, you know, against UCLA and having Slater out there guarding their best?
Well,
That's my only critique. It was a great game, trust me.
It was. And it's a game that they easily could have won.
Right. Right.
You know, under difficult circumstances, I mean, you're flying out to the West Coast.
Oh, no, no. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
In Pauley Pavilion and playing in 8:30. We had this discussion before we came on the episode. On the East Coast, it didn't show until 11:30.
Right.
That means the game didn't start till 8:30. That's a late game on the West Coast for an East Coast team. I mean, that's tough and everything. And they played a great game. They were right there. It was theirs to win. It could have went in either way. But that was my only critique at the end.
Okay, fair enough.
Was why Slater wasn't being utilized a little bit more. Last night's game, or the game against Howard, was another shooting. They shot the lights out. And we could talk a little bit about this because you did bring it up. The other teams are shooting relatively well at the three-point line against Villanova. And that's something. They're shooting over 40% against Nova, the three teams. So that's something that we definitely have to button up. And I don't know if that's because they're relying a little bit more too much on the 2-3 and not the man. But then when they do play man, they switch everything because there's times when Dixon is guarding the point guard out there sometimes.
Yeah, and that should never happen.
Right. Right. And that gets a little bit crazy. So their defense definitely has to be taken to another level if they want to continually get better for the season and really make that run, if you want my opinion. I got another stat for you. So if you average all of the players' minutes for 40 minutes of the game.
Okay.
Okay. Justin Moore would be averaging 22.9. And right behind him would be Brandon Slater at 21.3. So that kind of just shows you the type of season Slater has gotten off to. Another thing that I look at from a defensive standpoint is how much, well, not defense, but the turnover game. I think that's a big thing to take a look at. And right now, Villanova's at a plus 8.3 for the first three games of the season. So the opponents are averaging a little over 15. Villanova's only averaging 7. And you would think that would be the case when you have a grad senior as your point guard and you have another experienced guard with more. He's been utilizing Chris Arch a lot. He got some really good playing time. So you would think that they wouldn't be turning the ball over, which it doesn't look like they're doing. So that's good for their efficiency on their offense end, you know?
Yeah. And it seems like they're right back into the style that we like to see with the ball movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always talked about that. And we've always talked about how Jay Wright teams, their guards like to play a certain style where dribble, drive, penetrate, and then kick out. And I love that, you know, mm-hmm. rather than just, you know, the guy brings the ball up, he stands at the top of the key, he looks through the open guy, he moves, you know, somebody comes out and sets a screen up the top, a guy cuts back door, which is fine. But I always found the Jay Wright style with his guard play is interesting, and the way that Justin Moore and Gillespie plays is so different from a lot of college guards because they're not the biggest guys, but they play big.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're both good ball handlers and good shooters, but they're not afraid to go in the paint, and they're certainly not afraid to to post up if they have to. So I always enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, Moore's got some really good post up moves, actually.
He does. He really does. He really does, and he can get to the rack, and he's certainly fearless when he gets down there. You know, so is Gillespie, and you know, what else can you say about him? Mm-hmm. And Moore's just been shooting great too. So those guys, you know, it's nice for them that they don't have to worry about those two because they're so solid.
Mm-hmm.
They can do just about everything well.
Right. And that's going to play a big part as the season grows on, because even in the Howard game, there was a couple of times when Howard would go on a run and maybe go on like an 8-0 run, 9-0 run. And the couple times that it was done, Coach Wright would call a timeout, and then the following play would be either Moore or Gillespie backing down, posting up, and getting an easy basket, which would just kill the momentum for Howard. And that's how it was. I think two or three times they did that, where out of the timeout, Moore just backed the guy down, overpowered him, layup. So that's big when you have somebody that can do that, and it's a guard, because most of these guards, they're getting the advantage because they're playing most of the time smaller guards.
Yeah, especially against a lower D1 team like Howard, they're mm-hmm. they're not going to have anybody to match up against a player like Moore or Gillespie. They definitely have an advantage when it comes to that.
Yep. Well, it should be interesting. I like the way the numbers are looking right now. Offensively, they're averaging, they're scoring almost 90 points a game. They're averaging. So they have a scoring margin differential of plus 16 through the first three games. They keep up the shooting. I think this is going to be, and even a couple of the freshmen playing. I kind of liked Longino last night against Howard. I liked how he played. He made a couple of nice passes, made a nice shot there, here and there. So, and hopefully you're going to get Antoine back soon, coming off the bench. I think that's going to be another big key to them, because even though they're coming off the bench with Daniels and then they're bringing in Arch, Daniels can score a little bit, but that's not a major thing. So I think that's important to get a little bit more scoring back after Antoine comes back.
Yeah, they're going to need some kind of offense, some kind of juice coming off the bench. And maybe you get it, like you said, from a Longino. Daniels, when he does play, he's a decent three-point shooter. Archie Diacono looks a lot more confident this year.
Mm-hmm.
To me, his ball handling seems improved, and he just seems like he's more comfortable.
Right.
You know, he got thrown into the fire last year after Gillespie got hurt, and that probably wasn't the best way for him to get thrown into the lineup. But he seems a lot more comfortable, and maybe we'll see him develop a three-pointer as the season goes on.
Yep. Well, after the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic, they have three games, two of them at the Palestra, back-to-back against LaSalle and the University of Penn. And then they play at home against St. Joe's, which is on December 4th. So, and then they go and play Syracuse in the Jimmy V Classic. So, a lot of tough games coming up, but very excited to see where this team goes and to see where they go with their defense. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's move on a little bit and let's talk a little bit of betting. Something we both like to do.
Okay.
We both like the betting. Before we get into that, though, I want to talk about our another one of our new sponsors, Twisted Tea. Twisted Tea, hard iced tea made with real brew tea. 5% alcohol per volume. I love the half and half ones. They have raspberry. They have all different flavors. But grab yourself a Twisted Tea. Very, very refreshing. Merle, you ever have a Twisted Tea?
I have.
You have?
Yeah, it's been a while, but yes, I have had it.
All right, well, I'm going to send you a 6-pack.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, so getting into the betting, let's start off the last season we talked a lot about futures betting. And we didn't really get too involved with game to game betting, the money lines and the over unders and the plus and minuses, which we can because we do that. But let's talk again about futures, because futures could be kind of interesting. And futures is where, if the timing is right, you can make a little bit of money. So right now, the favorite to win the tournament, NCAA tournament, March Madness, favorite right now is Gonzaga. And it goes Gonzaga, Kansas, Michigan, and then you got Nova, Texas, and UCLA. That's how the favorites line up. And Chris, we were talking a little bit about this before we came on the podcast. Gonzaga is at plus 650, and they are the favorites. Plus 650 seems a little high for me, considering they are the favorite. Then it goes to Kansas at plus 900 and Michigan at plus 900. So why do you think, and what's your opinion on why you think that is as high as it is?
I wonder if, and you mentioned this earlier before we came on the air, the odds makers might be looking at their history in the NCAA tournament and they're sort of leery about making them such a big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I think they opened up last year, and I'm not 100% certain, but I think they opened up last year at like plus 300, plus 350.
Mm-hmm.
And that year's last year's team was considered a better team on paper than this year's team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they opened up at like I said, like maybe plus 350. So I think they're taking prior history into account, and maybe, just maybe, there's a team that can knock them off in their conference. Possibly. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
I know they, I mean, I'm not 100% certain, but you know, it looks like they're going to cruise to a number one seed again. That's for certain.
Right. Right.
But it is a bit high. And the next highest team is almost double. Correct?
Well, you got Kansas at plus 900.
900.
At okay. Plus 900. Now, the Michigan thing is interesting because they're just coming off of a loss against Seton Hall, which is a little bit of a shock.
Yeah.
So that could change a little bit. Texas has lost. And obviously, Villanova has lost. So Villanova's at plus 1,000. Texas is plus 1,000. UCLA is at plus 1,000. So how that works is obviously so if you're betting, you know, you put your money down, and let's say you're going to bet Villanova, and you're going to wager $5. Well, if you wager $5 on Villanova going off at plus 1,000, you're going to win $50. Okay?
Right.
So if you are a little bit bigger spender, then if you wager $100, then you're going to get $1,000. All right?
Yes.
So obviously, the higher the plus, the better the payout.
Correct.
All right. So, Chris, I'm putting you right now on the spot.
Uh-huh.
If you name a team that you think could maybe be a sleeper, and I'll tell you what their plus is right now.
Is Duke a sleeper?
Could be. Duke is going off at plus 1,400.
You want a team over 2,000?
Well, let's look at this. You have the Gonzagas, the Michigan, Kansas. That's like the first tier.
Right.
Then the second tier, you have your Texas, UCLA, Villanovas. And then you have the next tier is the Kentucky, Dukes, Purdue, and Memphis. So anybody then below that is obviously better odds. So I would say yes, below a Memphis or a team like that or a Purdue.
All right. I'll give you two, Alabama.
Okay.
And Illinois.
Okay. Both Alabama and Illinois going off at plus 2,000.
Okay.
So both going off at pretty much double what Villanova is going at.
Where's Kentucky?
Kentucky is right behind. Kentucky's right after Villanova at plus 1,300.
Okay.
So you also have teams like Oregon at plus 3,500. Even Tennessee is plus 4,000. That's a team that we're going to see soon.
About Baylor?
Baylor, another team, plus 2,000. It just seems like everybody's kind of bunched kind of together in this plus 2,000 to plus 5,000 area.
Yeah.
You know? There's no clear favorite, and I think it's just a lot of jumble area-wise as far as these numbers go and looking at them. So parity could be it this year when it comes to the tournament, and it could be pretty much anybody's chance to win here as far as how the betting's going. Now, I'm going to jump now to player of the year.
Okay.
Right now, he's in the news a lot. Drew Timmy.
Yeah.
From Gonzaga. He's going off at plus 175. The next in line is Johnny what is his name? Juzang?
Juzang, yeah.
Is that how you say it? He goes at plus 400. And then Paolo Banchero from Duke at plus 600. Those are the top three for player of the year.
Okay.
You get a little bit of value from some Villanova players. Colin goes off at plus 2,000. Justin Moore also goes off at plus 2,000. After that, you got Jermaine Samuels at plus 6,000. And then this, I find it kind of fun, not funny, but definitely crazy. Caleb Daniels is going off at plus 50,000.
Okay.
So if you really want to take a shot.
I'm surprised he's even on the board.
I'm surprised too. But at 50,000, if you bet $5 for him to win, you would walk away with $2,500 for your $5.
Yes, you would.
So it's definitely a long shot. Long shot. I didn't see Slater up there, which I thought was a little odd with Daniels being up there. But even the player of the year is tough to kind of zero in on, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Last year's favorite didn't win, right? I'm trying to even think who was the favorite last year. Suggs?
No. Was it Kispert?
Yeah, Kispert was up there. Cunningham obviously was up there, right?
Yeah.
So, my bet would be this kid, the freshman Chet Holmgren.
Right, from Gonzaga, and that might take away from Timmy.
Right, but he would be my bet. There, he's going off at +800.
Okay.
That would be who I would go with. Because, and I'll tell you why, Chris.
Okay.
He's a big guy. He's a center.
Yes.
When's the last time a center has won player of the year?
Last year.
Who?
What's his name from Iowa? Garza.
But Garza, he's like a glorified forward that just because he was in college, he played center. This guy is legit, like 7-foot center. Like, he's legit.
Well, then I'm looking back. I guess the last guy would have been about 9-10 years ago, Anthony Davis.
Right. Right. So if a center has a good season, to me, that's going to stand out a lot more than all these guards/forwards in my eyes.
Okay.
That's my theory on why I would put money down on Chet Holmgren.
I mean, he's worth at +600, you said?
+800.
800, yeah, that's a good bet. He's gotten off to a really good start.
Yes, yes. The only problem with futures bets is the anticipation of the actual score does take a long time because obviously we'd have to wait until, March, April to see if this bet actually wins.
Yeah. So
that's the one downside to betting futures. But it's also, it could be potentially one of your better payouts, right?
It could be.
Very, very interesting. What are you using to bet?
I'm on the BetMGM app.
Okay.
So I've always enjoyed that, and I've gotten some pretty good odds on there. So I've been using it during football season and had some success. And it's also available live at the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to refrain from saying who I bet through for the moment.
Okay.
Just based upon some stuff that's going on in the news right now. So,
sure.
But I get my bets in. And I told you a story. I tried to do the bet MGM and I messed up because I put
you shortened your name.
I put my name in as Rob. I mean, that's right. What everybody calls me, Rob. So I put my name in as Rob Logan and I had to send them my ID at the end, which is my driver's license. And on my driver's license, it says Robert Logan. Well, that set up so many red flares that it wasn't even funny. And they wouldn't let me place a bet because they couldn't verify me for like 48 hours. And then there was like how many emails that went back and forth, and I kind of just dropped the ball a little bit with that. So just a tip, if you are signing up for BetMGM, just make sure you use your legal name when you are signing up, because that's the first thing they ask you is your first and last name. And 98% of the people call me Rob. There's only two people in this. Well, there's only a small percentage of people who call me Robert, and two of them are my parents. So
who's the others?
My family. 'Cause my mom used to make them call me Robert.
Oh, okay.
My cousins still call me Robert.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because they're afraid that, you know, they're going to get yelled at by my mom.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes, that's how it worked in my family. So,
see, my name's three syllables, so no one ever calls me Christopher.
Just because everybody's lazy?
It's, yeah. I guess. That extra syllable just nobody wants to pronounce it, so they'd always just say Chris.
All right, but Chris, when you signed up,
yes,
did you write down Christopher or did you put Chris?
I do, because it's on my credit card and my debit card.
As Christopher?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, who knew? Just in case you're doing that, just make sure you sign up with your legal name. But, all right, Chris. It's been fun. We're going to do it more often than the time lapse. I apologize. That was my fault. But this is fun for me and kind of therapeutic. So I hope you enjoy it. And I'm very thankful that you spend the hour with me talking about Villanova. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been good, and we'll get back at it again. Hopefully, after a couple more games, and we can review and talk about the Wildcats.
If you like listening to the Nova Nation podcast, go check us out on our website at www.novanationpodcast.com. Give us a like. Thanks. Are you looking for a reliable company to service your swimming pool or hot tub? If so, we are absolutely thrilled with the work that American Pool Concepts did for us. They completely transformed our pool. American Pool Concepts does amazing work. Patrick and Chris are hardworking pool experts. Hire them, you won't regret it. Check their Facebook page or their website at www.AmericanPoolConcepts.com. What's up, Nova Nation? If you have any questions that you would like to have answered or discussed on the show, email us at thenovanationpodcast@gmail.com.